Ships at Sea.
And good morning. Thank you for joining us on this rainy Thursday. It is KBOO Portland. We're about an hour from Between the Covers today, welcoming author Kathy Camper and her series Lowriders to the Center of the Earth, about a trio of friends who experience out-of-this-world adventures in their quest to build the most epic lowrider. And at 11:30, Words and Pictures, today an encore presentation of Renters Rights Comics, an informational comic with an aim to educate renters. But first, we've got Flashpoints at 10:15, but before that, it is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary, and that is just a couple minutes away. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kboo.org.
Good morning, Cascadia. Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, March 9th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your Antifa Fabulous radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. We're going to be speaking with Karen Coulter at the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project. There is a benefit coming up. This is an important organization to support and to be a member of, to contribute to, and to enjoy the process of ground truthing, which the Biodiversity Project engages in every summer season, going out into Eastern Oregon wilderness areas and assessing the damage done primarily by grazing. We have very little understanding of the irreparable damage that is done to a remote, pristine, wild environment by cattle, and the damage done by cattle in general and everywhere is extraordinary. We'll be speaking to Karen in just a moment. First, we've got weather and a few headlines to go over today. Basically, what we can tell you is going to rain a lot everywhere, all over Cascadia for the next 2 days. Daytime temperatures hovering in the high 40s, and nighttime temperatures are flittering like bats around the low 40s. That's basically what you can expect. The ground soaking it up. This is why Cascadia looks so beautiful in those brochures. This is why Cascadia seems so green, because Lord knows the policies that we have regarding the environment are not the reason why Cascadia is considered green, at least not anymore. We've ravaged our forests, and we have passed laws that are more favorable to the logging industry than to our own habitat. The trees will be gone. They'll be cut down. We'll have. You don't remember a poorly constructed cheap house the way you remember a tall green ancient forest. So, just to make that point very quickly. And again, as we have Karen holding the line just a moment. We'll be speaking with her, the director of the Blue Mountains Biodiversity Project. We want to first mention that moving ahead and down there in Coos Bay, Jordan Cove, there are events coming up soon. We'll be speaking a little bit with Jody McCaffrey, who's central to activism around the Jordan Cove and the Pacific Connector pipelines. There are open houses that are going to be held regarding this beginning on March 21st, North Bend, and there will be one in Canyonville, one in Medford, one in Klamath Falls. And those are things that if you are down that way, it's important to let your voice be heard. Our coasts are part of why Cascadia is the way it is. And let's not forget that the oceans are dying. Coral reefs are dying. We have many unseen events going on below the deep blue waters that should be cause for alarm, but we don't see them. They're out of sight. They're out of mind. Speaking of out of mind, the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform has serious concerns about the direction that of the Portland Police Bureau. The appointment of Chris Davis was a real shocker. Chris Davis, if you don't know this, was recently appointed the assistant chief. He is a noted shooter and one of the most controversial police shootings in the history of the Bureau. Jose Mejia Poot was a Mexican day laborer, and he was killed by Davis and another officer right in the psychiatry section of the hospital. There's a shooting created major divisions in the city of Portland and with communities of color and other citizens, and now he is in a position of power. Think about that. He'll be able to exonerate himself, as if the police don't do that on a regular basis anyway. the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, again, bringing up issues concerning journalism, which is under attack, as we know, on a daily basis from the office of the president. This is unheard of. Unheard of. It should be cause. It should bring everybody to their feet at roaring outrage. And of course, as we all know, every major health group, every major organization representing patients, doctors, hospitals, the whole works right down the line are calling out objections to Trumpicare. Trumpicare being the disastrous transfer of wealth from the base, let's just say the sick and the elderly, to the coffers of the very, very wealthy. It's yet not every one of Trump's appointments and every one of these orders passed has been nothing more than a thinly veiled transfer of wealth from Americans to something we don't know what they are, really. It's would it be a proletarian autocracy? What would it be? It's an autocracy, and the type it is, I guess we are going to wait and see. But that said, Trumpicare disaster, the publication of WikiLeaks documents, of course, has, again, been an exciting moment for people who follow the news and follow surveillance issues and privacy issues. Too bad that we aren't really acting on our outrage. That said, something we can act on that is incredibly positive and is indicative of the energy and enthusiasm with which people in Cascadia and indeed all around America now are approaching our environmental issues, since we now have an enemy of the environment in power. Karen, good morning, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate KABU.
Well, we follow your. We appreciate your work. Whenever any of us are able to, we want to be. We are involved, and we want to, you know, invite. You're invited here because of the benefit that is coming up, and because the work that you do is so vital and so important now, more so than ever. I don't think it's going too far to say that. When you talk, I want to just ask you a couple of questions. What do you mean by biodiversity, and specifically in the context of the areas of eastern, these remote wilderness areas that you talk about?
Well, biodiversity refers to the great diversity of life that forms an interconnected web of ecological relationships that supports the life support systems of the planet, as well as providing profound beauty and meaning to life. Just imagine if there was no diversity in tree species, no diversity in pollinators, no diversity in birds or flowers, you'd have a very barren system. For instance, I saw a graphic recently that showed life without bees, and it showed a bare, cracked desert. If you had life without humans, a lot of other species would flourish. So biodiversity has been directly threatened by human activities such as toxic herbicide use and pesticide use, development over the planet, logging, livestock grazing, and so forth.
So it turns out, again, that the destruction of the environment is driven by greed. Some in the science community and the futurists looking at the direction that we're going have clearly outlined how it would be indeed possible and perhaps probable that the planet Earth might end up as a monospecies planet if we continue down this this road. Can you talk a little bit again about species, apex predators, and how where we fit right now? Many people really think of us, think of themselves as we are kind of the audience of and the environments out there performing for us and putting on a show. And you know, we are outside in a way. We can walk out of the theater anytime we want, not thinking that we are part of the show. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how humans fit in?
I think it's really important for people to spend more time in nature. We have a volunteer program every summer for people to come out forest surveying with us to actually survey the plans for logging in timber sales across eastern Oregon. And in the process, people immerse themselves in nature for a week, 2 weeks, months at a time. And we've gotten a lot of feedback that this has had profound meaning for them because far too many people aren't that connected with nature anymore. So it's easy to overlook what role human destruction is playing in the forest, as well as to not thoroughly appreciate our need, spiritually, physically, and otherwise, for the diversity of life out there. It horrifies me that now there's virtual headsets for virtual reality, that there's plans to send people to other planets. There's all these nanotech and biotechnology developments rather than supporting the life system we have. For example, to give an example of the homogenous, sterile system created by loss of biodiversity, just yesterday on NPR on The World, I heard that an invasive snake species in Guam has been killing off the native birds there in the forest, and the native birds spread the tree seeds throughout the forest, with the result that now the forest itself is diminishing in the diversity of tree species and becoming homogenized. In my experience, when I walk across ponderosa pine plantations that have been created by the Forest Service in eastern Oregon, especially where they wouldn't naturally exist,